and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's almost like you guys have heard that before.
I'd say Groundhog's Day, but that's not the type of holiday we're talking about today.
We're Indeed. Not. We are talking about holiday movies for season 5, episode 23, episode number 203. Ba-ba-da-da. We have been, I don't know about you guys, but I have been a busy little holiday movie watching worker bee over here.
I have done not as good of a job as you guys, but I feel like I have watched some of the ones that were on our major list.
Okay.
So I'm feeling good about that.
Awesome.
Yeah. I watched some things I wouldn't have normally watched.
Exactly.
I watched literally everything that I would have normally watched. I might have watched Happiest Season, but other than that, I don't know if I would have watched any of the ones that I did watch. We really did like get super into it. I think at the end we watched, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We watched eight new to us holiday movies.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I watched three, and I watched the movie special, the Netflix movies that made you special on Home Alone. So I'm going to count that as 3.5.
I think that counts. That totally counts.
That's good.
That totally counts. Like we have so much that we can talk about today. Also, you know, we are not like, I focused on those cheesy like Hallmark, Netflix, Hulu movies because I had personally never seen them. But like, you know, I am totally down for us to mention some of our, you know, all time favorite ones. Like obviously Home Alone is up there. I love The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Apparently on Disney Plus, hot tip, they have the original movie with the full song that is cut out of the home video version.
When Love Is Gone? Is that the one? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot tip.
I don't
have Disney Plus, so I don't know this firsthand, but I have heard from reliable sources.
Okay, because I saw a headline on one of the blogs that I like to read, and I've been somewhat busy where I haven't had a lot of like interneting time. Oh, that's right, because I've literally been watching fucking holiday movies. That's where my internet time has gone. But like in my scroll to catch up, I did see something about the Muppets movie, the Muppet Christmas Carol being made whole again. And I'm really glad that that's what it was about, because honestly, my first thought as we were scrolling down was like, oh my God, are they remaking this or something? And then they're going to include the When Love Is God song. But I'm happy to think, yay. Yeah. Why did they take that one out again?
I don't know. I think Disney back in the 90s did a lot of weird stuff from theatrical release to home movie release. Because they did the same thing with Newsies too, that the full movie is not what's on the home video. They like cut things in weird places. And I don't know if they think that people just don't have the like attention span at home to watch the full movie, or they think the movie will be better by cutting songs, which is never true.
And you can fast forward at home.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I could understand never if it was like like maybe if they were doing it for like the commercial edit. Because that was like a big deal.
But even then, don't cut the song. Especially that, in Muppet's Christmas Carol, specifically that song. It's so like integral to Scrooge's storyline. And then they reprise the song at the end. So it doesn't really make, the song at the end doesn't really make sense because you didn't hear it the first time. Oh, guys.
Okay, I got an answer
about this. I'm very heated.
I got an answer, okay? Okay, it was found and reinstated, so that is a thing that happened. And they did an interview with the director, and apparently the director said, Brian Henson, he reluctantly cut the song from the film over concerns that young viewers would get antsy during the melancholy ballad. First of all, as a young female viewer back then, definitely didn't get antsy. Definitely sang that song like it was A Whole New World or something.
Oh, yeah. It's way better than A Whole New World.
No. I think they're like equally as okay. They're equally great.
I don't know. I really love that song.
I do too. But it really is. It's very important to Scrooge's like awakening in the future.
Yeah. It's like where you start to see that he really does have a heart. And it's not that he's a cruel man. He just had his heart broken.
Heart broken because he was a cruel young man. But it made him even crueler. So, I mean, there's layers.
Yeah, but there's layers.
It actually teaches children that, you know, life isn't black and white. There's always layers. Yeah. There's always layers. There we go.
Always layers.
Yeah. This is a, for the less than 10 minutes into this show, this has been a very philosophical discussion.
Oh, man. I can't wait to watch Muppets Christmas Carol now.
Is there anything that, anything else that you guys want to talk about of movies that you've already seen and love before we get into some of the new ones that we talked about?
I mean, obviously, National Lampoon's. I think that's got to be up there.
Oh, that's like right.
One of the best classics. I think it's usually like, usually National Lampoon's and Home Alone are like the two, and they're so different. And just like side note, I will say, I understand that Home Alone is very problematic. As somebody who thinks that toxic masculinity is bad and that the Second Amendment is bad, like the messages in Home Alone, not great.
Oh, I know.
Really not great. However, I still appreciate it. But that's like a nostalgia factor. But let's see, what else? Do you guys remember those like stop motion, all the stop motion animation movies
yeah,
that we used like, to watch as like very small kids? I loved the
like
shit.
Like Frosty? Frosty.
Oh, the claymation.
Frosty, yes. Frosty, and there was
Rudolph. And the Year Without a Christmas.
I loved those. And yeah, and I loved the songs in those ones too, which I can't really remember now, but really liked those as a kid.
Yeah. Along those same lines, do you guys remember the original Muppet Christmas movies? Like, watch out for the icy patch.
Yes, Muppet Family Christmas.
Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Yes. So
mind
we
the icy patch.
Mind the
Everybody
icy patch.
Everybody goes to Grandma's house. Well, they go to Fozzie's mom's house, mm-hmm. and the Fraggles are there, and the Sesame Street gang show up.
Oh,
everybody is there.
That sounds amazing.
Oh my God, it's the best.
So, okay.
You can watch it on YouTube. It's in three parts on YouTube.
I can't believe it's not on Disney Plus.
It might be now.
It might
Again,
be.
Don't have
I
Disney
haven't looked
Plus,
for it, actually.
So I don't know.
I forgot that that was what it was called. But like, so we had like a VHS tape growing up of stuff that we had obviously taped off of, you know, live air viewing or whatever. And it started with the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special, and Ooh. Then it had the Transformers Christmas, which I think might have been a part of that. I'm sure Matt will tell us. It had the Star Wars holiday special on it, I believe.
Oh my God, I didn't know that any of these existed.
Yeah, same.
And then it ended with the Muppets Family Christmas.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It
and
was
the last
a VHS
half an
that
hour
took you on a journey.
Just Carol.
I know!
It's Muppets singing carols for like 20 minutes.
I think that's actually why I have the, like why I love like going to like Christmas Eve Mass. Like even now, I love going to Christmas Eve Mass and just,
yeah.
I like going like the hour early and just singing along with the choir because I love Christmas carols. I like harmonizing and I like singing the melody and I just like getting into it. And yeah, so and I think that that love might be partially due to the last half hour of the Muppet Family Christmas.
Muppet Family Christmas.
Oh God! All right.
Charlie Brown Christmas is also a good.
Charlie
classic.
Brown Christmas is a classic. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I'm good to watch once a year. Like I get kind of tired of it, but like I'm good for one viewing a year.
One's never. It's not that big for me.
As we talked about last week's episode, I've kind of gotten into a Jingle All the Way for some reason. I really like it. It's so bad, but I like it.
That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger one,
That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger
right?
one, yeah.
Okay.
White Christmas was one of my favorite ones growing up. And I recently learned that White Christmas, like the song isn't from that movie. It's from another movie, like the Inn or Holiday Inn or something. And apparently it's like super racist.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, White Christmas sounds quite Aryan.
No, it's about snow.
Okay.
I mean, or so we're led to believe.
Or cocaine.
Well, right. I could right. see how it could be easily co-opted.
Yes, but Holiday Inn is very problematic. There's some like
I hear there's a lot
like
a of
whole like antebellum South like song. It's wow. yeah, it's
yeah.
It's
a little, it's, I yeah. hear that, you know, they would be throwing around the China virus phrase a lot if in that if that was made like right now. So cool. Now that we're on camera, I revive this just for tonight.
I see your snowman glass and I raise you.
You got one.
I got one for Christmas. Well, it's a set, actually. There's two of them.
Oh, nice.
So oh, good.
We both have we both be festive.
Because yep, I was still
got it
gonna
for Christmas last year. So it was the
I was still thinking of literally trying to figure out like how to make you guys the most ridiculous over the top holiday stemware possible. Just because I still
yeah, and it's stemless too. So like Daniel's made some like old fashions in them.
Oh, that's oh nice. Fun.
Nice.
Yeah, there it's
super fun. It's nice, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry not to get us off topic here. But I did. I really liked White Christmas. I liked the random dance music number in the middle of it. I have not really rewatched it as an adult, so I don't know if I would still like it. But another one. Oh, gosh. It's a Wonderful Life.
I have never actually seen It's a Wonderful Life all the way through.
So I honestly was kind of like, I liked it, but I was like, eh, it's long. I don't want to watch it. And Jay always insisted on watching it every, like, Christmas day, like, or Christmas in general, like, time, depending on where we were. And I have to say, like, the last 2 years, I have come to seriously appreciate that movie on a level that I never did before. And, like, again, it's one of those things like The Grinch, like, I'm in for once a year viewing. Like, Home Alone, we must watch that, like, 3 times a year. And I'm okay with that. And we watched the second one. Oh, and I didn't tell you guys last week when we recorded, or 2 days ago, but whatever. Last time we recorded, that when we watched Home Alone 2, you know, we were like, Zachy, wait for it. And he knew. He was like, okay, I'm ready. And then as soon as You Know Who came on screen, we were all like, boo.
Nice.
Perfect.
And we always will be.
Yeah, that definitely taints it.
Yeah.
But it's a sequel, so you know that some things are just not going to be as good.
Well, I don't know if you – I have the that Christmas classic movie trivia, and one of the trivias, which I guess I can say now, Donald Trump actually refused to let them film in the plaza unless he could get a cameo in the thing.
I have heard that because he owned the plaza at the time. I think that was actually – Is that in this year's Frontline, The Choice? I've definitely heard that.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, of course he did.
It of course
totally
he did.
Tracks.
Okay, yeah. Here it is. Yeah. So Donald Trump would only give the production team permission, a permit to film in the Plaza Hotel if they wrote him into the movie. So
sounds about right.
That's, I mean, that checks. That checks out.
It does now. It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, and I don't know if I read this here or if I like Googled it or whatever, but like, apparently he actually like, you know, kept them waiting when they had to film that scene too. I might've seen that on Twitter actually.
Of course, of course.
Anyway, we are not talking about, our own personal Voldemort here. So let's keep going. Other Chris holiday movies in general. I have to mention Die Hard because honestly, Die Hard is a holiday movie. It is. We've watched it already. They re-released it in theaters, like out now for like, you know, they've been releasing classic movies at limited capacity. I think that solidifies it. You're not going to change my mind. I love that movie. The end.
I don't think I've ever seen it the whole way through. Honestly.
I haven't. I definitely haven't.
It's a fun action movie. Like, it, you know, started a genre. And yeah.
And I also had never seen Christmas Vacation until I was an adult.
Oh.
You were too busy watching Muppet movies. Like, we didn't have time for anything else.
Yeah, that's true. There are two Christmas movies that I, or holiday movies that I've never seen all the way through. One is A Christmas Story. I've seen I've seen all of it, but I have never seen it from start to finish.
Yeah, we just put it on at like 8 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve, and it just stays on through Christmas Day.
You mean you put FX on?
Yep.
Wasn't it FX that used to just replay that movie for 24 hours?
I think it's TBS now.
TBS now, okay.
Yeah, I think they're all owned by the same company, but yeah.
Okay.
24 Hours of A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
You'll shoot your eye out. And the other one is Plane, Trains, and Automobiles, which...
Never seen that one either.
Never seen that either.
I recently saw the second half because Jay had it on Thanksgiving, and I had seen bits and pieces of it before, but there's definitely chunks that I'm still missing. But, like, I maintain, I feel like Steve Martin's character was a lot nicer than I would have been to John Candy's character, because I literally wanted to murder him until the very last scene. It's like, everything bad that is happening is because of you.
Sounds like a movie I wouldn't enjoy.
No, I think you might, because there are some scenes where, like, it's super annoying that he's causing the bad stuff, but it's also really funny. At the same time. Anything else before we move into what we did watch?
I think we should mention A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Of course, a classic.
It is a classic. Yeah.
I'm sure that we are leaving out so many that we're just going to, like, either shout out or have, you know, lots of Facebook comments and emails being like, how could you not bring this up? And I think that there are ones mentioned in emails that we do have for feedback, which is good.
Exactly. So we'll get to them.
I will actually say one that people claim is like a classic Christmas movie that I saw maybe once and just like really didn't like is Love Actually.
Oh, yeah.
I do like Love Actually. In spite of myself, I get it. It's a horrible movie. I should not like it. But you know what? Ice cream is really bad for you too, but it's delicious.
You had to say that I was drinking water. That's a good point.
Well, maybe I'll have to rewatch it and see if I can appreciate it more now, because it's been a hot minute. I think I saw it when it came out and was like, this sucks. And then there was like this whole like movement around it, and I was just like looking on, you know, stupefied.
One of the best uses of a Joni Mitchell song in a movie.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
I can't say that I remember any details of the movie, but
I haven't seen it in a long time. I remember the basic gist, but like the memes that like have the signs that they're holding up that like fill in your blank on like the signs are pretty classic. So it did give us that. Like the one with
really problematic if you really stop and think about it, but very sweet if you just enjoy it as Christmas spirit.
Right.
I think we would also be remiss if we did not mention Little Women, which I consider a Christmas movie.
It does. Yeah. It's an all the time movie, but yes.
But particularly Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose. What about Elf? Did we talk about Elf? I love Elf.
I don't think I've ever seen Elf.
Oh my goodness.
I can see why.
Elf and then watch the movies that made us about Elf. And it'll give you more of an appreciation. And then you'll want to go back and watch Elf again.
Look, we'll talk about this more because Matt has some feedback about Elf. And I will.
Which I disagree with wholeheartedly.
I know, I do too. But he did say it was an unpopular take. Maybe we can broad-splain to him why he's wrong. But
this time, Matt.
I do have a question. Is Elf on a Shelf, does that come from Elf?
No.
No.
No, that's just...
Where did that come from?
I don't know, but I still hate it.
That's another thing that I do not understand.
It's like a
cultural reference that I just never got.
We didn't grow up with one, so I kind of just think the whole thing is a little weird.
Is it something that people grew up with?
No, it's new. It's only been... I think they created all that stuff around creating the stupid elf, I think. Or the elf. It was like, I think it was all at the same time, I think. I don't know. All I know is I refuse to do it. And
what is doing it?
So essentially the elf, you put the elf someplace and they're in like a either position or they're like doing something funny. Like it's, it depends, like choose your own adventure, what, how much you want to put into it. Like you want to just throw the elf in a fucking chair somewhere, you could do that. But like supposedly they're like, you know, move around throughout the day. Like they're always in a different place. You have to move them at night. And like they can either like have little treats for the kids or just, you know, little notes or just be there like waving. Like look, my mom had to sit me down this morning and be like, look, you need to do Christmas cookies with your kids. And I'm like, I really hate baking. Like, I don't want to do it. She was like, then get the slice and bake. But like, you need to do like some of those Christmas stuff. And I was like, fine. So like, it's enough for me to like do the gingerbread cookies, the gingerbread house and the cookies every year. Like, I can't do an elf on a shelf. I don't have it in me. I know there's Pinterest boards dedicated to it, but no.
It didn't exist when we were kids, correct?
Sure did not.
Okay, because they package it and market it like it's this vintage thing. Like the packaging even looks like something straight out of like you pulled it out of like your grandma's closet and dusted it off from like the 60s.
Is there a specific elf that you're supposed to buy?
Yeah.
Oh my God, so it's just like really good marketing on somebody's part.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay, so
they have like exclusive rights to this elf?
Okay, probably. So Elf on a Shelf was a book written in 2004. It was about an old tradition that an elf was sent from Santa who came to watch over them at Christmas time. And then there was a holiday special in November 2011, the elf story, The Elf on the Shelf. And then, I don't know, at some point, all I'm gleaming here is that it is from 2004 on. I don't know when.
Interesting.
Interesting.
It's contemporary. Also, I don't know when the hiding thing started, nor do I care. But there's also a mensch on a bench, which is the Jewish counterpart.
That's pretty funny, though.
Of course.
The elf, though, and I'm assuming the mensch, by definition, are probably boys.
Yes, but I think there is a girl version.
No, there's definitely a girl. There's definitely a female.
On the shelfette?
Probably. No, there's definitely a female elf because I've seen it on people's Instagram stories.
Pedestal.
No.
Right. Yeah.
I've seen it on Instagram.
It's called the female elf too, because of course elf, the neutral would just be masculine.
Yeah. Lady elf.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I really feel like that I'm glad we cleared that up because I felt like we missed out on something in childhood. It's good to know that this is a manufactured thing of the modern era. Yeah.
Yes. Cool. All right.
Yeah. All right. New movies.
New movies.
Yeah. Holiday movies.
All right. So let's start with ones that we all watched. We all watched Jingle Jangle and Happiest Season, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Which do you want to start with? I will let you guys
start
with pick.
Jingle Jangle, okay. Because I have more positive feedback about Jingle Jangle.
Okay.
And an interesting Muppet reference callback.
Okay, go ahead. You start. Go for it.
Okay. So Jingle Jangle. I think this might have been my favorite of the new Christmas things we watched.
Interesting.
I thought it was so goddamn magical. I thought the music was great. I loved how diverse it was. I loved that, you know, it was essentially, aside from Lord Grantham, it was an entirely black cast, but it wasn't like, oh, this is a, you know, an African-American holiday movie.
Black
like,
and Ricky Martin.
It was just a holiday movie. Like, it was just a great movie. I loved how heavy it was on the girl power and how, like, cool STEM is. And like how math solved the problems and like saved the day with math.
Yeah.
And if you watched closely to tie back to Muppet's Christmas Carol, I am convinced that is the same set.
Really?
Think about it. I am convinced that like where the shop is and that like center of what, you know, whatever fictitious town, it is the same set that they shot Muppet's Christmas Carol on. I will put money down on it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. The costumes were absolutely beautiful and the sets were all gorgeous. Yeah. Definitely. I really, really appreciated the costumes. I liked it. I thought it was fine. I think, like, it's a movie that I might need to, like, rewatch to like, and maybe a couple times for a couple of holidays to like really like sort of put it into my holiday.
Yeah. Rotation.
You know, something that I would associate with like the holidays. Cause the story, like I thought it was fine. I do agree with you. I loved the STEM stuff, the creativity of all of that. And the way that the little girl was like just a boss. And even when there was a little boy, like in the story too, like it was good that she was really the one who shined, but they had like such a mutual respect for each other. It was really nice.
It was. I went into it thinking it was something completely different. I didn't know it was a musical.
Yeah, same.
Oh, I did.
I did.
I saw that. So I saw that dance and I was like, this is a holiday movie for me.
So I was ill prepared at first, but I was very pleasantly surprised. Ricky Martin as the ridiculous random marionette character.
Loved it. I would have hated that character if it was anybody else. Like, I know. He really just.
I know.
I didn't realize so that was Ricky Martin.
It was Ricky Martin. Felisa Richard doing the grandmother. I guess kind of early on who she was in relation to the story without being spoilery. But that was like, you know, your classic Christmas movie formula or holiday movie formula.
Exactly.
But I thought it went on just a tad too long. But at the same time, I feel like if I went back and rewatched it, because I have a tough time with musicals where I, like, Jade likes to go into musicals completely, like, blank slate. I need to have, like, listen to the soundtrack or something once so I have, like, a general idea. And I'm very conditioned 36 years of that. But, again, like, I can't, like, knock the plot. I love the plot. I love the girl power. I love the diversity of it. I think I can't, like, complain too much about it. I didn't see the tragic twist coming, though. I was like, man. But then, you know, I was also like, oh, yeah, okay. This is like checking off the boxes of how the holiday movies get their happy endings.
Right. I think that's also what I loved about it, that it took this very classic holiday movie formula and like added all this really great modern spins along the way.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to rewatching it again because it definitely felt like it had that Christmas magic.
Yeah, no, and I feel like you a little bit, Colleen, in like, with a couple of rewatches, like, then, like, knowing the songs, I think that would make a difference. Because as it was fine. But, like, I don't have any associations with them yet.
Right.
Yeah. I think my only complaint is that we had to wait the entire movie for Anika Noni Rose to sing a song.
Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
I think that if
and she didn't sing enough.
She didn't sing enough.
Yeah.
I think that negative critique is that they underutilized a Broadway goddess.
Yeah.
And she should have been singing more often and earlier in the movie.
All the women had such beautiful voices.
And Forest Whitaker. Who knew Forest Whitaker could sing?
Yeah.
Like, he sounded pretty good.
I will say Keegan-Michael Key trying to sing, you know, was your classic like, oh, you're the Russell Crowe of this movie.
Yeah. But still more enjoyable.
Yeah, but still way more enjoyable.
You can talk, sing this song. It's fine. I don't mind. I know. I'll allow it.
For time's sake, I will read some of the trivia that I was going to do, like I promised the other night, as we talk about each movie. So a little bit of trivia for this one is this movie actually featured three different stars of Dreamgirls from the last 5 decades. So we had Felisa Richard, Anika Noni Rose, and Marisha Wallace.
Wow.
Yep. And she's saying,
that's amazing.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting bit of little like bit of trivia.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Other interesting fact, Muppets Christmas Carol set. I'm telling you, when you watch it, think about it. Okay. I really think I am right on this.
I believe you. All right. If you watch this, let us know, everybody. The broadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. We can't wait to hear what other people have to say. And you'll have some time. Let us know before our next episode or even in January. Like, let us know. The next movie that we watched was Happiest Season with Kristen Stewart. It was directed and co-written by Clea DuVall. and Mackenzie Davis. Was that the other star's name?
Yes.
But yeah, so all-star cast, another original or very formulaic holiday movie that kind of has your like updated spin to it. What'd you guys think?
Mm-hmm. So when I first started,
I really liked it.
I wanted to like it so bad.
Well, okay.
Harper's the worst, guys.
So she's the worst, but
yeah.
I did read a good blog post that was like in defense of Harper, but
yeah.
let me let Shani go first, and then I'll let you both go first.
I went into it with super low expectations, I think, because like we had talked about like, oh, Hallmark movies or whatever. And so I think that's one thing that probably helped. But overall, I think I still would have liked it. So I started, and when I saw the cast, it was like, what? Kay Stu, I'm here for that. And then, like, I had just finished watching Schitt's Creek. So it was so fun to see Daniel Levy
play
something right after that.
Daniel Levy play that. Essentially himself, but more toned down.
Yeah. He made the movie for me. He was my favorite part.
He was great. Yeah. And I agree that Harper's the worst, but I thought that also there was some really interesting reflections about why
she was the worst
at the end and why like it's more complicated. It's easy to take a hard line on like stand up for your love and blah blah blah, but like it's more nuanced than that and complex. And I thought they did a good job of like touching upon like why it's so hard for a lot of people to come out to their parents, and the fact that, you know, like queer kids are overwhelmingly like, you know, homeless kids. When you see, and like I've been guilty of this myself, but when you see those, you know, kids on the street that are homeless, and you're like, oh, they're just, you know, being like, you know, dumb, like they don't want to, I don't know, they got tired of their parents or whatever. And I think we've all sort of seen those street kids before and been like, well, don't give them money, you know? And like thinking about that now, I'm like, oh, anytime I see somebody that looks like that on the street, like there's probably a good chance that they're like a queer kid that got kicked out of their house. So
yeah.
Anyway, just it was, I thought they did a good job of sort of bringing that to light and showing it to people who might not always think about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And maybe I'm just holding it to too high a standard for the fact that it is just like a cheesy Christmas movie, but like, I wanted it to go further. Like, I think, you know, Daniel Levy's speech, I think, was just spot on and so beautiful and so great. But I feel like the ending was really undeserved, you know, like, Harper almost was like an emotional abuser throughout the course of the movie. And like just doing things you wouldn't do to someone you love, like just, you wouldn't put them in those positions over and over and over again. And then the sort of turnaround at the end felt really quick to me. And again, I think I'm asking too much
of the movie. So I have a question. Like, do you think that maybe you're looking at that from more of like a heteronormative type of like perspective? Like, if we see a movie where the dude or the female character like is treating and we are conditioned to this, like even with like the holiday movies and the Hallmark movies and whatnot, where like they go home and somebody's got like an emotionally abusive, you know, partner, we're like, oh, well, you should obviously leave them for somebody who is more whatever, because the genre has those stereotypes. But like when you add in the factor of like a gay character like being so afraid to come out because of the society that we live in, and that we still have these like, you know, there's still barriers up and there's still prejudices out there. And, you know, do you think that, you know, maybe that character isn't so much like they're playing that stereotypical role, but they're playing that role in a different way? They're not, you know, they're not meant to be like the reason why the two main characters get together, but rather it's mainly kind of like show what Shani was talking about with like the nuance of the situation versus like, you know, the traditional tropes that we're used to seeing in these types of movies, which is, you know, like main star has terrible partner and gets together with the Aubrey Plaza of the movie. you know, just what we were talking about earlier, like it's not like black and white. Like there's definitely somebody, there's different experiences that different types of people go through. And, you know, maybe we should look at Harper from the perspective that like, yeah, we can see it because we're like, yeah, that's no big deal. Like, who cares? Like, you're just treating her like shit, like for no reason. And she should end up with Aubrey Plaza, which part of me is like, you probably shouldn't because yeah, Aubrey Plaza was awesome.
Yes,
she was great.
She was great. Yes, she was in a redeeming part of the movie for me as well. And, yeah. And I do hear you. And I do hear that argument. But no. And I think it was a big deal for her family. And I think that the end was very rushed. Like, I think all of those things, like, yes, love can conquer all. But I don't think being hurt like that so repeatedly over and over again.
And I
don't
totally get what happened
that quickly. Like, I almost would have liked if it was like a year later and then it's like,
right,
you know, everyone had time to like come to terms with what happened and really do the work. Like, I feel like no one did the actual work, you know?
Yeah. And I totally hear you, but that's where for me, I was like, again, that Hallmark movie element came back into it. And I was prepared just to kind of like completely, you know, like accept whatever they're throwing at me because of the sort of Hallmark genre that like, you know, it's going to resolve quicker than it should. And you know that nobody's actually doing any work to get there. And we're just going to tie it all up in a little bow. And I was kind of there for that. But I agree with you when you say that it was a big deal for her family. And so her family like needed to go through the, you know, ordeal that they went through. Like they needed to go through, that was their work. Okay. It was like one night, but like, and then they had to realize that it was not only one, but two daughters who were.
Yeah. That storyline was very random.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the Hallmark movie genre is just not for me. Like maybe I hold them right. Too high a standard than they can never live up to it. And maybe like I need to come down and meet them where they are. And maybe that's the problem.
It's admittedly not realistic. And so I think that that's where like, again, going into it with my low expectations and being like, okay, this is going to be a Hallmark cheese fest. And then just to see like the cast and to have, you know, like, a lesbian storyline and then some of the conversations that were in it, like I was just kind of there for it and willing to just go on that ride and just totally accept it. And it was fine. I can see those holes for sure. But just like the giant hole in that painting, but which the third sister, I have to say,
well, Jane.
Oh, she was so funny.
She was great.
So, she was great.
So I love Jane. Jane is played by Mary Holland, who co-wrote it with Clea DuVall. So essentially, Clea DuVall she wrote an outline for the film because she's a lesbian and she had never seen her own experiences like reflected in any kind of like holiday movie. Mm-hmm. So she decided to do an outline and then she co-starred on Veep with Mary Holland and asked her if she would help her write it. So they like, you know, bounced ideas and jokes and kind of like co-wrote the movie as a result.
Awesome.
That's which is why Jane is clearly like, you know, the best sister. Because when you're the writer, you can pick.
I'm glad she, like, her book ended up being like a really successful.
I love that so much.
Like, that was the one thing I was like, oh, good. That does feel right. Because it's like, you know, she just gets shit on the whole movie. Yes. And then she ends up being really successful. And I'm like, that storyline felt satisfying.
Yeah. It's like a Hallmark movie classic. Yeah, like ending there with the, yeah. And then she's but yeah, it was great. I was totally there for it. And I loved how Daniel Levy's character, like as soon as they met, they just like had this kindred friendship right away. And
he
bought the book and they were like all about it. Yep.
Yeah.
No, it was great. I think it's a wonderful thing to watch when you just want to like relax and not and just like feel good and yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather watch a whole movie about David and Patrick, though. Like, if we're going to
let's get a David and Patrick
like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
For that community, I would so much rather watch that relationship. Like,
I don't
let's
know.
Let's go completely like a happy story, happy couple. Like they get like.
But I really liked it, though.
I mean, and the thing with Schitt's Creek that is wonderful is that they just chose to not show any homophobia at all. So there's just none in the series, which I think is wonderful. But again, like if we're going back to like the
right, it's a totally
storyline of Yeah.
Right.
And then you don't get Aubrey Plaza, which is...
That's true. You did. She really was great. Yeah.
You have a crush on her? You have a crush on her.
I'm just going to say it. I love Kristen Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great role for her. I really do. Yeah. I think it was a great character for her.
Yeah. She's just... Yeah. She's one of those... I love her. I think she's great.
Yeah. And, you know, we had a great email from Erin about the movie, and she said, "Hey ladies, just wanted to tell you how happy The Happiest Season made me. It brought me such laughter and joy and is an instant classic. But it also made me reflect. Even as Michael and I watched it, I said to him, I can't imagine living in fear of hiding who you are from the people you love, and that even in 2020, people still live with this fear. It was brought up on your last episode how much progress we've made while you were talking about Elliot Page. And it's true. Media has done a much better job reporting. TV and movies have done a much better job of showing diversity. And even in shows like this year's New Babysitter's Club, they introduced a trans storyline. Oh, God, I love the New Babysitter's Club.
It was so good.
As though it was no big deal. It made me so happy. But then I reflect on this movie, a movie that shows in 2020 a woman goes home to her family and still feels like being a lesbian will ruin this perfect image of her. Dan Levy's monologue was so poignant. No two coming out stories are the same, and for some they will be rejected for who they are by the people they love. It's said that coming out still has to be a thing. And all I can hope is that one day we'll look back at this movie and see how dated it is, because we're living in a world where everyone gets to be who they are.
Amen.
Anyway, perhaps too heavy of a take for a romantic comedy. Girlfriend, go back for the last 20 minutes. But luckily it did have a big, beautiful, happy ending, plus Dan Levy pretending to be straight, which was just ridiculously hilarious. Happiest holidays to you, Erin.
Was he pretending to be straight?
In that scene when he was hanging out with the bro dude. Right.
It's like, oh yeah, how much do you lift? Oh, like 1,000.
So funny.
So funny. No, I agree. I think it takes a bit of Claire Duvall's experiences and, like, you know, kind of brings it to represent a little piece of everything. Because also when Aubrey Plaza is showing her around town at the, you know, LGBTQ+ scene, like, you know, it's just there. Like, nobody's like, it's kind of like Schitt's Creek. Like, you know, nobody's making a big deal of the fact that they're in, like, you know, the bar or anything like that.
It's a drag show happening.
So, like, there is a little bit of, like, showing that it is, you know, the town itself isn't, you know, whatever, but, like, you know, it is Harper's anxieties and fears, which are very much real for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like Erin said, hopefully we can look back, you know, 10 years from now and be like, God, this movie is more dated than Friends. Yeah.
Good reference.
So the other movies I watched, and let me know if you watch them too. Otherwise, we could each briefly take turns talking about which one, and then we'll take our quick break. I watched The Christmas Prince, all three of them.
Yes.
Okay. Did you watch all three?
I watched one. Okay. I thought about watching the second one today.
Okay, they're good. Like,
around to it. There's still time before Christmas.
I totally recommend all three because, oh my God, I was like, they are so stupid, but I was so there for the characters. I just wanted to know, like, what happened with Princess Emily, and spoiler alert, she gets a boyfriend in the second movie, so you need to watch it.
Definitely. I'm so here for that. It was such a mindless movie but fun and I don't know. I watched it also when I was, like, really tired and I kind of had a headache and I just wasn't feeling very good. And I was like, this would be a good time to watch that movie. And so, and it was. And it was just very, like, you know, the comfort food of movies.
It was definitely.
And usually I wouldn't think I'd be down for that, but I kind of was. And again, came into it with very low expectations. I was like, this is a movie that's called The Christmas Prince. Like, this is not going to go well.
Yeah. But you know something? It actually, and the second one more so, Like, the second one is actually surprisingly, like, somewhat progressive. And I don't want to spoil it, but, like, you know, essentially, like, they're trying to push these progressive policies on the kingdom. And, you know, the naysayers are like, why should this work? And, like, you know, of course, I don't want to spoil it. But, like, while we were watching it, I, like, said to Jay, I was like, I think this might have the secret liberal agenda attached to it.
In the nice holiday package.
Yes. This feels liberal agenda-y to me.
I have to watch it.
Now I want to watch it.
No, it's still dumb. Like, please don't think that, like, you're going to come out of it smarter. But, like, that they are very comforting. And I could definitely see us rewatching it. Maybe not next year, but, like, in future years. Because even the third one, she has... So, okay, the third one, she has a baby, and the premise is, like, the baby might be cursed or something.
Oh, God.
And, because everything in her life happens on Christmas. Like, they get engaged at Christmas time, they get married on Christmas Day. Of course you know she's having her fucking baby, even though they make a big deal that it's due January 11th. You know she's having her baby on Christmas Day.
Well, like, he's a Christmas prince.
Right, exactly. What is it called, the Christmas baby?
I know, but I was like, at one point, I was like, gosh, I really want to see, like, a Christmas Halloween or a Christmas Prince East, or no, a Prince Halloween or Easter Prince, or
the
you
Easter
know.
Prince.
I want to see
the President's Day.
Founding it, the press.
Yes, I want to see them do other holidays. But, like, okay, spoiler alert, you could definitely guess this from the trailer of the movie. Like, she, you know, obviously she goes into labor, and, like, it's the most unridiculous labor. Like, it's so dumb. Literally everybody is in the room right until it's, like, time to push, and I'm like, that is not how this happens. Like the whole fucking cast is surrounding her, like, trying to, like, massage her, and I'm like, again, this
oh
is
my God,
this
that
is...
starts to feel very like Handmaid's Tale.
It was so funny. It was so funny. And, like, again, I was like, and they're, like, all waiting, like, right outside the room, and it's, like, quiet, and I was like, okay, this is definitely not how it happens. Like, it was so ridiculous. I just looked at Jay and I was like, this is so unrealistic. I guessed, like, the whole, there was a thing, like, with the baby, and I guessed that too. So, like, everything remains very predictable, but that's part of the fun, right? Like, if you gotta, I've learned while watching these movies, you need to call out the ridiculous as you see it, as it's happening, you know, because that's part of the fun. Like, yeah. But Shandy, you should watch the next two, and I'm not gonna warn you. They're dumb, but they're fun.
I really think I might. Okay. Words I never thought I would say. But,
okay. Like, again, Jay was like, so when's the fourth one? I was like, again, COVID. They couldn't film one. Maybe we'll have a COVID prince next year.
A COVID prince.
No, Belgravia shut down, so they had they never had a confirmed case, and they were spared. There we go. Oh my
Wait,
God,
Belgravia! I thought that was the Vanessa Hudgens one.
No,
that's the one I watched. That one, and that was in Belgravia.
No, it wasn't. Belgravia.
It was. I just watched it this afternoon.
I watched it this afternoon too. Both of them. No, she's Montenegro.
No, she's the Duchess from.
Okay, well,
but they're in Belgravia.
There are, so
it's
what's...
It's a similar name.
Yeah. So then what the fuck princess is she of? Hold on, here we go. I got the Wikipedia page. Oh, Aldovia. I should have known that. She says Aldovia. Aldovia. Like she's from fucking Queens, like, every single time. She's like, you know, I'm the princess of Aldovia. And I'm like, yes, honey, we know. Like, I feel like... You know, they're Aldovia. She literally says it like she says it like that every time, and it gets worse each movie. There's
also side note, Aldovia, where they
Aldovia,
speak American.
Please.
No, they speak British English.
They do.
They speak English, just with a British accent, in the fantasy land of Aldovia.
Because you know what? That's all that an American audience can handle. They understand a British accent.
And that's fine. Well, that's fine.
So all your fictitious European countries have a high T accent, because that's what we can understand.
Shandy.
Even if it takes place in France or
Shandy.
The Queen's English.
When you watch the second one, pay attention to how everybody's Queen's English accent is completely different. Like, nobody has the same accent. They're all going for that British American accent, but it ain't happening. Just please pay attention for that. Like, because I think you might have, it might be the same in the first, but we didn't notice it in the second one till there were other like European characters that were doing accents. And I was like, God, everybody's accent's all over the place. Then I realized, I was like, but everybody in Aldovia's accent is also all over the place.
Except for key words, which are definitely
well, and oh my God, I gotta talk about this when we talk about the princess swap, Amanda, but like,
oh, the princess swap, that's what it's called. I just keep calling it the Vanessa Hudgens movie.
I know. We picked the princess swap because Jay was like, yeah, Vanessa Hudgens is hot, I have a crush on her, let's watch that one. And I was like, all right.
She is very pretty.
She's beautiful. But yeah, no, I like the princess, the Christmas prince. I did. Obviously enough to watch all three. And I'm here for a fourth if they do it. And any holiday spin-off they've got.
Love it.
Yeah, so let's talk about Princess Swap real quick. The second one is so dumb and makes no sense, but it's also really fun. The first one is also...
I just love the title.
I know.
Switched again.
I know. Switched. I know. It's literally called The Princess Swap 2.
Like,
Switched
I don't even
again.
Need to watch it. Like, that's enough. That's enough.
Okay, well, the premise... So, Vanessa Hudgens plays three characters in the second one. So,
oh, no.
I will let you figure out the hijinks that ensue with that one. But I recommend it. Like, there's so much dumb in it that, like, at points I was like, why is this even a plot point? But by the end, I was like, all right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so extra. It was so extra.
So extra. And her accent is never, like, even when she's going back and forth between the American accent and the British accent, like, sometimes I don't know if she, like, forgot the character she was playing, but, like, when she was playing the British one, she would, like, slip back into American and then, like, go back in. It was just awful. All over the place as well. Yeah,
they didn't have the budget for a dialect coach. She was just using like the Duolingo app or something.
I would believe that. But again, it was fun though. Like
it was fun. I mean, the Downton Abbey joke. It's you know, it's like, yeah. What is happening?
There are two A Christmas Prince references. The first one, it features very heavily in the first one, where they And then
see, I didn't see A Christmas Prince, so right over my head.
It is sort of like a somewhat of a plot point in the first one. And then there's a brief, apparently there's a brief cameo in the second one, which I missed, but like I do kind of want to rewatch it for that. But no, that I thought that it was really fun. And the other one that I watched was the 12 Dates of Christmas with Amy Smart and Mark Paul Gosselaar. And
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Mm-hmm. It's basically the Groundhog Day of Christmas movies.
Oh, I think we got an email about that as well.
Yeah, we did. That's why I watched it, because Stephanie emailed us and said to watch it. And I was like, Jay, he loves Groundhog Day. I was like, are you in for this? He was like, sure.
I might have to watch it just for Mark Paul Gosselaar.
He's That's so true. Attractive.
I do enjoy him.
It's wild to see him, you know, in anything else.
And I believe he has darker hair in the movie, if I remember correctly.
Well, he is not blonde. Like, that was definitely.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school in a health class, we watched a movie that was about date rape, and he was the date rapist. Very, very traumatic, because it was Zach from Saved by the Bell who all of a sudden I'm seeing.
Yes, 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 oh, yes. I know what you're manager. Talking about.
Which also was just like a really, you know, not a very effective way to teach about consent, but whatever. That's a whole other.
Take Zach Morris. It was exactly like, it was somewhat predictable, like, you know, but there were pleasant surprises along the way. Like, I don't want to spoil it too much because you guys haven't seen it, but we definitely like enjoyed watching it as well. She's the Bill Murray character, so of course, you know, she learns the lesson by the end and whatnot. And we were trying to keep track of dates, and then we kind of at one point lost count. Because, you know, the montage where, like, you know, they go through things and they're learning things, but, like, you don't see the whole day go by. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, it's definitely worth checking out. Again, I would recommend that one as well. But it was really funny because Jay goes to me. We watched it on Sunday night after we had watched the second or the third Christmas Prince, one of the Christmas Princes. And he was like, maybe it was the scotch, but what happened at the end of that movie? And I was like, they got together. He was like, I know that, but what happened? But it was so memorable. No, just kidding.
Definitely on my list, though.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, yeah. It was fun. It was fun. And it was also made like 10 or 12 years ago, so keep that in mind, too.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it was... it's in. Let me check out Stephanie's email real quick about it. It's from 2011, so it was made 9 years ago. It's Groundhog Day at Christmas. So it's on Disney+. Stephanie, thank you so much for the recommendation, because we really did have a good time watching it. So thank you.
Oh, I think that was my hang up, is that I don't have Disney Plus. So if there's any other way to watch it,
I'm sure it's on something else. I mean, it's an old enough movie that, like, it's probably they're like, any I'll kind of royalties movie. We can get.
I mean, it got 52% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, like,
that checks out,
you know. Like, yeah, it should. I feel like it should be something that other streaming devices should be able to get.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
yeah. And like I said, that checks out. Like, I'm not going to, yeah, it was fun. It was a fun watch.
High marks for a Hallmark movie.
High marks. I guess while we're at it, I'm sorry. What else did you guys watch? Because the only other thing I was going to say is that Mandy recommended the movie Noelle on Disney Plus, which is with Anna Kendrick. Did you guys, anybody else watch that?
Anna Kendrick, I'm there for that, but I haven't seen it because, again, Disney Plus. I saw that and it looks interesting, but yeah, no Disney Plus.
Yeah, okay. Same.
So we didn't get to that mainly because, you know, I apparently picked all movies with that were trilogies or sequels. But I know that's a kids movie, so that is actually on the list to watch with the boys. And hopefully by the time we record next, I will have watched Noelle, because there were also comments in the Facebook group that recommended Noelle, too. I think Martha might have said it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I will check that out, because that is, I do want to. And now that we're like in this holiday movie kick, like, might as well. And then Mandy said, I've seen The Christmas Prince, but couldn't tell you anything that happened other than it was very, very bad. Okay, we're going to hit delete on this very, email. Ignore.
What are you talking about? She almost got eaten by wolves.
Oh, my God. I know. What? Oh, that was so dumb.
The drama, the intrigue.
Yeah.
It was resolved in like.
It was resolved in like, you know, I think an hour in movie time, but like 30 seconds on our screen. Maybe 10. Yeah. Okay. It was really, yeah.
Makes sense.
So anybody else have anything they watched?
I have two other things.
Go for it.
I watched Holiday with Emma Roberts. Totally missable. Like, it was a perfectly fine movie, but I don't recommend it.
Okay, my boss said the same thing.
Missable. Yeah, like, it wasn't so absurd that it was like Hallmark level of like you were calling out the absurdity and kind of enjoying it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a little too good, well made of a movie to be that. But it wasn't a good enough movie to be enjoyed as an actual movie.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. If they had gone full Hallmark, you think it might have been better, but they like tried to be serious?
I think so. Like, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But the thing that I did watch that I loved, yes, and I sort of told you about this, you guys about this in our text chain, Dash and Lily on Netflix.
Yes.
I loved the crap out of this series. It's not for me. Like, it is for teens.
I love God, everything I freaking that comes loved out for teens.
It was so stylized and so beautifully shot and beautifully written. And it had all, like, the magic of Christmas and all the sort of cheesy things that you wanted of that kind of thing. But it was also just really well made.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
I will add it. Yeah.
Every time like, I sat down and like watched through like six episodes in one night, which normally I don't binge stuff like that as a rule, but it's just like the episodes are short enough that I just like keep, I need to know what happened. I need to know what happened. And you know, I think it's like, if you know New York, it's also kind of has that kind of love letter to New York vibe to it too. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. That's good to know. Every time there's like one of those like made for teen things, I'm always there for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I am not the target demo at all, but
I am. And I know it. Maybe you just embrace that you are. If anybody out there like loves Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, like Camp Cretaceous, totally a kid's thing. It's like made for teens, but it's super awesome and I totally recommend it. It's in the same Jurassic Park universe. It's happening during the events of Jurassic World and it's a cartoon, but they tie in like scenes from the movie in with the cartoon, and it's clearly made for like teenagers and us.
Nice.
So Dash and Lily, I already know I'm going to love it.
Dash and Lily.
I'm going to love it so much.
Oh, it's so good. Lily, like, I wish I was her. I wish I was that cool of a nerd in high school.
Cool.
She's so lovable.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm here for it. We're going to do whatever else I just said that we have to do.
Nice. All right. Nice.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything that we watched or we want to address that we've talked about?
Cool. Oh, that's it for me for now.
Cool.
Got more on the list, but yeah.
You have more?
No, on my list of things to watch.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do I. And I feel like I wasn't writing it down as we were going along like I usually do, but I feel like when I edit, I'm going to come back and be like, you know, I got a lot.
Well stocked.
Oh, another.
Through the holidays.
The only other one that I promised my coworkers I would watch was A Christmas Movie Christmas, which is two sisters that get trapped in a holiday movie.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Yeah. Where's that?
It's on Netflix or Hulu or something. It's on one of the streaming because we watched the trailer for it. And it was between that or A Christmas Prince 2. And we were like, no, we really need to see what happens with the Christmas Prince people.
Sorry, we just need to know what happens.
Yeah, I need to know what happens in Aldovia. But we are going to go, because the trailer looks super cheesy. And, you know, cheesy is good, so.
Okay. A Christmas Movie Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, that is a bold move to use the word Christmas twice in the title, but.
I mean, it got my attention.
Yeah.
It's almost better than Switched Again.
Oh, Amanda.
Okay, yeah, it's on Hulu.
If you have time while you're packing to watch Switched Again, I would love for your insight.
I think I'm gonna have to. I mean, with a title like that, three Vanessa Hudgens.
Three Vanessa Hudgens, and I can't even tell you how freaking ridiculous it is.
Oh dear.
Yeah. All right. I had a couple more things of trivia. There's not a whole lot left because I've read a lot of it as we're going along. But for Muppet Christmas Carol, Michael Caine insisted that the only way he'd play Scrooge was if he could pretend that the Muppets were real people and that he was acting in the Royal Shakespeare Company.
And it's perfect.
Yes. Yeah. It was like
how
most...
else would you play that role? Come on. There's nothing wrong with that movie. It's perfect.
Oh, it really is. In Die Hard, Bruce Willis's role was actually offered to Frank Sinatra first because he was contractually obligated to get first dibs because he starred in the film's prequel, which was the movie called The Detective, in 1968. But he was 73 at the time, so he turned it down.
What? That's wild.
I know. That's it's so wild because I didn't know any of this. Meanwhile, somewhere Matt is like, yes, duh.
What? I'm like picking up bits of brain. I've blown my brain apart.
It really
with that
is. Like, I need to go back and watch this movie called The Detective.
Oh my gosh.
In Love Actually, they originally shot four additional storylines, one of which included the school's headmistress and her partner who was battling a terminal illness.
Too many storylines.
A lot of storylines.
There's enough downer storylines. We don't need another one.
This is true. But those scenes can be found in the extras on the DVD.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. In It's a Wonderful Life, writer-director Frank Capra helped create a new type of artificial snow because the then-current movie method was too noisy when the actors had to walk through the scenes, and that method was using cornflakes painted white.
Oh, that would be noisy.
You're like, that checks out.
Also, paint.
How is that noisy?
Because cornflakes are crunchy.
Crunch, crunch, yeah. Crunch.
And technology back then wasn't like, you know, super whatever. It was also popular at the time to use asbestos as snow in films.
Happier times. Simpler times.
Yeah, that's what they used for the poppy field scene in Wizard of Oz.
Right, that does sound familiar. I feel like I have heard that story before.
Yeah. In A Christmas Story, Flick's tongue was actually suctioned by a hidden vacuum to give it the illusion that it was frozen to the pole.
Oh, that's clever.
A hidden vacuum, you say.
Yeah, right? I know that's...
Righto.
I know, right? It sounds problematic, but it worked. In Jingle All the Way, the whole premise of the movie was inspired actually by the Cabbage Patch Kids craze from 1983, when parents were literally fighting at stores to get their children these dolls.
I still have mine.
In Miracle on 34th Street, the parade scenes were shot on location during the 1946 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which means they only had one morning to film the scenes that they needed for the movie's opening.
Wow.
And that is from Maureen O'Hara's autobiography.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. In How the Grinch Stole Christmas, both Eddie Murphy and Jack Nicholson were originally considered for the role of the Grinch that, you know, ultimately was Jim Carrey.
Interesting. Huh. That would have been a very different movie.
It would have been a very different movie. Like, I can see Jack Nicholson looks like the Grinch, but Eddie Murphy definitely would have played the Grinch similarly, but also way different.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life. Actually was shot in the summer of 1946, and it occasionally got so hot the production literally had to be shut down for a few days. And there's a screen cap of a scene with George Bailey, and he's like looks all like he's gleaming with snow, but he's actually sweating. So yeah, a little bit of trivia there for your I don't know, holiday trivia pleasure. But let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back. I think we only have a handful of feedback that's left that we haven't read during it. So let's get to that, and then, yeah, all right. Ho, 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 we are back. I hope you all found your commercial break princes and princesses, whatever you desire. May she not have forced you into a closet, literally to hide from her Roomba or whatever it was. That was a pretty funny joke, though.
It kind of was, yeah.
I'm in the closet, literally. It's from Happiest Season, all. Real quick, we've got some facey back for our holiday movie palooza. Matt says, two Christmas films worth seeing. Shandy, why don't you just say the name of this one?
Joyeux Noël, which I have seen.
Ooh.
And I can co-sign this recommendation.
It's a fictionalization of the Christmas truce, an unofficial ceasefire during World War I between German, French, and English troops on Christmas Eve, 1914. Instead of fighting, soldiers from various sides got together, break bread singing, and have snowball fights. Pretty touching anti-war film. Looks like it is streaming for free on Crackle and rentable everywhere else. Hey, I don't know what Crackle is, but you guys should see if that 12 Dates of Christmas is on it.
I've heard of Crackle. I didn't realize it was still around.
Ah, does his sister stations Snap and Pop?
I think so. I actually thought that, like, Pop was the same as Crackle. They're not.
Oh. Spoiler. Different.
Good to know. Well, cool. Shandy cosigns. So I will add that to the list.
It's not going to give you the feel good hallmarkiness of,
well, I mean, we talked about this that's a very podcast. Specific genre, Shandy.
But it is, you know, very touching.
Okay, cool.
In a different way.
In a different way. So look, if you're someone like Jack that likes to watch Band of Brothers every Christmas Day as your tradition, maybe add.
It's up his alley.
Okay.
That's perfectly up his alley.
Yeah. So everybody comment in the Facebook group and tag Jack so he watches this. the next one that he recommends is Anna and the Apocalypse. This hybrid horror comedy musical is about a high school girl and her friends trying to reconnect during the holidays as their smallish town is overrun by zombies. A solid sleeper with good songs. That's a very Matt recommendation. With good songs and a solid cast of mostly unknowns. But you may recognize Paul Kay from Game of Thrones as the principal. It's on Hulu. Cool. And then he has a controversial take. The third act of Elf sucks. And I said, why? And he said, because to that point, the movie had just been hanging out with the characters, and then in the third act, they suddenly decide they need a plot, and then throwing in the Central Park Rangers as a villain, even when they were never part of a film up to that point. There are some amusing bits, like the biker's Christmas wish, but the more I see the movie, the more I pretend like the end. It ends around Peter Dinklage's cameo.
Peter Dinklage is in it?
Yeah, he plays the book author dude.
Yeah, he's like a famous children's author that they bring in to like save the company for Christmas because they like printed a bunch of books wrong.
Yeah.
I guess I have to see it now.
And he is like, fuck you in the face. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to watch it now. Now you get it.
It's a great scene.
It's a great scene.
But Matt, I categorically disagree.
I super disagree. Go ahead, Amanda. You do it.
Okay. First, Matt, go watch the holiday movies that made us about Elf. And I think it will recolor how you're looking at the first part of the movie because it did for me. I mean, I love the movie. Like it's a classic, like Elf Saves Christmas. It's a classic tale, but at its very heart, it is about a father-son relationship.
Yes.
It is about seeking out a father-son relationship. And that's what the first two thirds of the movie is actually about.
Yeah.
And then it's also about like the holiday spirit and, you know, keeping it alive and hope and all that good stuff that
everybody kind of comes
love classic Christmas movies.
Yes.
But at its very heart, it's a movie about a son looking for a connection with his dad.
So yeah. There you go. Plus I really love the last act when they're singing.
I do too.
It also reminds me of the Brady Bunch Christmas where she sings "Oh Come All Ye Faithful" while they're trapped in the mine. An actual movie with an actual plot that I actually loved. I can't hear "O Come All Ye Faithful" without picturing Florence Henderson singing that song to Mike Brady and whoever else is trapped in the mine. I'm not even
in a mine. That's such a weird place for them to be in a Christmas movie.
I think it's a mine. I don't know. I was a kid when I saw it. And it had a different Cindy Brady. And that always really fucked me up.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
weird. I will say, though, as far as Christmas songs go, that's a solid one.
It's a solid song, right, dude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Matt, you are wrong. And that was some hashtag broadsplaining. P.S. a fun MST3K Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode has Santa Claus conquers the Martians featuring the classic carol "Let's Have a Patrick Swayze Christmas." Awesome.
Oh yeah, that old ditty.
Yeah, you know, my favorite.
Yeah, me too.
And then Martha had some Netflix Christmas movie suggestions. Christmas Prince trilogy, of course. Princess Switch. Check, 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 check for me. Just Another Christmas. It's Brazilian. I think it can be dubbed, so it must be in Portuguese. The Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2.
The one. I did watch one last year and loved it.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. I have not seen 2 yet, but I do want to watch it.
Okay. I will put that to the list.
Surprisingly amazing Santa.
Okay.
really good Santa.
Okay.
We're going to watch it. A little different to the time-honored role.
Okay. We're going to definitely watch it before we record next time. And then she has Noelle on Disney Plus. Brian said Christmas Vacation is a fun watch. Yeah. We talked about that. Okay. And then our last email is a bunch of movie recommendations from Alicia.
Okay, so she writes in to answer our request for holiday movies to watch. She says, to preface, I generally hate the treacly Hallmark shite movies. A few like Home Alone are fine, but I never really thought of the Home Alone movies as holiday movies like A Christmas Story or The Santa Claus is, although they do take place at Christmas and Christmas is a factor. I'm not much for rewatching most movies. I haven't watched most like Elf or The Santa Claus. It's just not my thing. My husband is the opposite. He watches tons of Christmas movies, although I do not recall if I've seen him watch the Hallmark stuff. He has all those old specials with Heatmeister and Snowmeister, etc. And even has related decorations. So my suggestions are generally in the less than wholesome spectrum.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, The Nightmare Before Christmas, great music, check.
Yep.
Krampus, a horror film with Adam Scott and Toni Collette, I think. I have not watched it. I might. Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, Bad Santa. Okay, that is a funny one.
She says, there's probably a sequel.
I think there is, too.
I believe there is.
Yeah.
Black Christmas, haven't seen it yet. The Nutcracker movie from last year, I will see. I will say I go to the Nutcracker every year and obviously can't this year. And I think I need to watch the Nutcracker movie instead.
Ooh, so you should. You should also see if there's
a movie from the 90s with Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah. It's like the Balanchine classic Nutcracker. And it might be the APT. It might be the American Ballet Theater. But it's like all ballet dancers and then like Macaulay Culkin. Is in it.
Well, now I might have to.
Yeah. So it sort of makes no sense that he's there, but I think it was like at the height of his like Home Alone fame, and I think they just felt like they needed the star power.
You mean his father felt like he needed the money still from him? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The Family Stone. I've seen this. Cringy back then.
Jessica Parker.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rachel McAdams.
I saw a few minutes of it again recently. Still cringy. Scrooged. This one is funny and I have seen it more than once. Jesus Christ Superstar. This filmed version of the play is from sometime in the 70s and stars the original cast of the Broadway play. I'm not religious, but I love the music.
Superstar. It's literally like Andrew Lloyd Webber in all of his heyday.
It might be the only Andrew Lloyd Webber score I actually don't hate.
Really?
Oh, I hate Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Evita is like in my top five, dude.
Yeah, all right, fine. All right. We'll put Evita above Jesus Christ Superstar, okay. But the rest we can just throw in the garbage.
I always think of Jesus Christ Superstar as being an Easter thing. But maybe that's because I'm Catholic and like, you know, radio stations and very Catholic / Jewish Long Island used
to
play.
That's fair. I would too, because it deals with the end of his life, not the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
As far as Scrooge goes, actually, like when I was talking to Jay about like holiday movies to put on my list, like obviously Scrooge is, you know, Bill Murray. It's way up there. It is a good movie, though.
I don't know how to love you. Right? That's Jesus Christ Superstar.
I'm pretty sure.
What to do, how to move him.
History is going to paint me as a prostitute. Right. Because that's how women get treated. Anyway, all right. Moving on.
All right, moving on. She moves into some Hanukkah movies, which, side note, we're recording this on the first day of Hanukkah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
December 10th as we record. Eight Crazy Nights. I haven't seen this one.
Oh, I've seen this one. It's cute.
Fiddler on the Roof. I vaguely remember seeing some of it.
I was in Fiddler on the Roof.
Nice.
Count it. Yentl. I vaguely remember seeing it.
Barbara Streisand, right?
I do. And I am not a Barbara Streisand kind of theater person, but I do like Yentl.
I haven't seen that, but I have seen this next one, which is a holiday classic, A Rugrats Hanukkah. Babies, go! Oh, that's maybe a different story. But Rugrats Hanukkah, yes. I loved the Rugrats. Okay, as far as other holiday films, Halloween, Hocus Pocus, yes, classic. The Witches, either the Anne Hathaway recent version or the Angelica Houston version. I'm not sure I would qualify them as Halloween movies, except that they're shown at Halloween. I've seen the Angelica Houston version. I don't think I've seen the Anne Hathaway.
The Anne Hathaway version is new. It came out this year.
Yeah, it's new.
Okay. Halloween 1 to a gazillion?
The Halloween movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Halloween.
Got it. Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah.
1 to a gazillion. Okay.
Yeah.
I've actually never seen those. It's very scary. Coco. Haven't seen it, but doesn't it take place around Austin?
Oh, Coco is one of my favorites. It's such a great movie.
I really wanted to see that one.
It takes place.
I feel like it was on HBO for a bit, and we missed it. Like it was like right before everything went into Disney Plus, and then it was like,
yeah. It's totally worth it. Like it's great. It's a great movie. It's one of my favorite of like that. You know, it's really great. I cry every time I watch it. Like it's really feel good. Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy, Alicia.
Thank you for all those recommendations. We will. Yeah.
We got a lot of watching to do.
We got a lot of watching to do. I am very surprised that I was 4 for 4 on the Hanukkah movies.
Yeah. That is impressive.
Yeah, nicely done.
But now I kind of want to watch Bad Christmas, Bad Santa, rather. I haven't seen the movie in a very long time, but it's got Billy Bob Thornton. It doesn't have Lorelai Gilmore in it.
Ooh,
that movie. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it, but I do remember like ads for it when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as classic as like Elf or whatever. Like, you know, kids are or you know, it's probably more in that like Jingle All the Way level of movies where like only a specific subset of people are going to be like, you know what movie I remember from like my childhood/young adulthood? Bad Santa.
Right. To be fair, Elf was trying to be a classic movie. I don't think Bad Santa was trying to be a classic Christmas movie for all time.
Yeah, that was a paycheck for everyone. But I think it was a good paycheck for everyone. It was a hefty one. Yeah. Good times.
Indeed.
And thank you for all the feedback, everybody. And thank you for listening to our holiday movie palooza. Like, we appreciate it very much so. As you're listening to this, hopefully Amanda will be settled into her new apartment.
Yay,
I'm assuming all the boxes that we see in the background now, are, as the time that this is published, they will be the same, but all just in a new place.
Yeah, I'm growing accustomed to them. I think I might just keep them as just decor.
Sure, why not? You know,
I will say, though, I can see the progress from between.
Yeah, oh my God, so could I.
Yep.
So nicely done.
Yeah.
So many boxes.
I'm very impressed. As somebody who, again, took literally weeks to move from her first place and months to move from her second place.
New York City living, it like teaches you.
I know. It seriously does.
Our stuff has got to be boxed up before the movers get here. They won't take garbage bags, so don't put anything in a garbage bag. It's got to be in a box, otherwise they won't take it. Like, it has to be done before they get here, otherwise they will not take it.
Do your, like, boxes need to wear masks, too?
They might. I don't know. I have to go back and read the fine print. They do have to be, like, taped up. I don't know who, like, just
tape masks on
boxes
them.
Closed.
Yeah.
But they clearly enough people do it that the movers felt like they had to explicitly put that in the rules.
Well, you know.
You have to securely tape the boxes closed. Yeah, I figured. Cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for all of your holiday suggestions. Amanda, good luck / good job on the move.
Thanks. I'm going to need it.
You're going to do great. Well, we will see everybody. So we are doing our very last show of the year, you know, our annual Universe Bless Us Everyone show. We are actually going to do it at approximately 9 p.m. on Sunday, December 20th. Looking forward to that. If you have any feedback for any of the movies you talked about today, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Paying you the patrons, if you would like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/jandjack. Thank you to the patrons that contribute a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rickner, Tack formerly of Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Greg the Gray, Joanne with a Plan, and Ed the Creepy Granddaddy Mailman. Thank you so much. If you are a patron, we have caught up now on all of our bonus shows from the fall. So check out the All Patrons feed. And if you are not subscribed to it, shoot me an email and I will help you get set up. Thanks, everybody. On a more like whatever plugging note, I was actually on the Serious Drama TV podcast with Scott, Eric, and Dan last week. I was part of their like top 20 best dramas of all time countdown. And we covered the X-Files episode, Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose. So if you are interested in that, you can check that out too. I think we had a really fun discussion. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Ho, ho, ho out, everybody.
Ho out.
Ho out.
Ho out with your blowout. I don't know. Jam out with your clam out. Ho out with your...
Ho out with your bro out. Ho out with your...
Ho out with your...
Wait, no, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it.
Okay.
Ho out with your snow out.
There it is.
And
works
scene.
On both levels. Love
so
it.
So good. Yep.
And scene.